This DJ Kirk State. When I need info on today's important events, I tune into Block Report Podcast with my mans, Tafari XL. Let's go.
TK Visions Beats.
It's the Carol by XL.
TK Visions Beats. TDK Visions Beats.
Hey, what's going on, y'all? It's the Block Report Podcast. I'm your host, Tafari XL, and check it out. Now, I know there's a lot going on, and there's some real serious stuff, but I wanted to check out what are the statistics and stuff for reggae and dancehall music and the money that they make. And when I checked it out, there was this article on the Jamaica Observer. It's from April 2021. Check out the real situation, charting reggae's vast influence. Now, I'm not going to read the whole entire article because I got other things to do. But check it out. In the beginning of the article, it gives you so much reasons not to read the whole entire article. In early January 2021, MRC, Media Rating Council, and Billboard ranked the most popular music genres in the United States for 2020. Based on physical, digital song and album sales, and on-demand audio video streams, hip-hop /R&B took the top position with 28.2% of the market's total volume and 31.1% of on-demand streams. At number five, Latin music had 4.7% total volume and 6.0% of streams. Dance / electronic tiered at number six with 3.2% total volume and 3.3% streams. And world music placed at number eight with 1.8% total volume and 1.6% streams. Classical music ranked last, number 11. And by the way, I would just like to say I like classical music. Unfortunately, it got ranked last, but I am a fan of classical music. Maybe that's because I like to go ahead and dig for samples, but okay. With 1.0% total volume and 0.08% streams, figures for genres with lower rankings were not included. Jamaica's reggae and dancehall were not represented among the top 11 genres. Well, at least not by name. Now, this article, it's by somebody they call themselves Let's Talk Reggae, it still bears repeating that the blueprint for hip-hop was established by a Jamaican almost 50. Now, you see, what I'm looking at right here is that reggae lost out, wasn't even in the top 10 of music and streams. And then the following comment is that the blueprint for hip-hop was established by a Jamaican. Now, I've met DJ Kool Herc. I was in the same place with DJ Kool Herc. Now, that doesn't mean that I have any significant understanding of what he feels his position was in hip hop. But he has never said that he started hip hop or he was some catalyst in hip hop. So this person writing this article, I don't know what they're doing or what they're trying to do. But my thing is that the article was initially started about reggae. Now, this is the Jamaica Observer. Why didn't the Jamaica Observer start looking at the records for what reggae music did across the world rather than leaning on Kool Herc, DJ Kool Herc, who does not, he will never, he has said it already on video camera that he is not the beginning of hip hop, and he is not, he did not start hip hop. I mean, I've seen this man in action. He doesn't even like for you to call his name out when he's right there. So this, you know, people just like to throw his name out in articles to stir things up. And that's a sad situation. But check it out. You are now tuned into and listening to the Block Report Podcast, and I am your host, Tafar Rye Excel, and we are glad to have you tapped in, tuned in to this audio broadcast of what we are doing. Now, there's something else that I wanted to talk about. Now, I brought it in with that situation as far as in regards to this erroneous article by the Jamaica Observer trying to relate the sagging and sorry sales or streams of reggae music and then relate it to how it relates to DJ Kool Herc. That was ridiculous. I wasn't even going to read any more of that garbage. You know, if you're going to talk about, what you're doing, talk about what you're doing. Don't talk about what somebody else has done and their, accolades. This is why people get frustrated and are absolutely frustrated with certain folks and people, because people try to, piggyback on other people's successes and then try to make it seem like as if they have a part of their success when you really don't. I mean, this was totally terrible. You start out talking about like how terrible that reggae music has done in that year, and then you then start talking about like how DJ Kool Herc basically made hip hop. He made the blueprint for hip hop when a lot of these people don't even like hip hop music. And he doesn't even declare himself as the inventor or creator of hip hop. So that was just terrible. Oh my gosh. What is going on? Because if hip hop was created in Jamaica or any Caribbean island, then why we don't see the why don't we see the significance of it there in the island? Why don't we see it? So stop telling that. Stop talking about that hip hop was created in Jamaica. Let's kill that and destroy that. Because that don't make no sense to keep saying that. No Jamaican celebrates hip hop. What are you talking about? No, Jamaicans don't even know what hip hop is. Stop telling that lie. You want to take significance or ownership over something that other black people did? What? You know, we got to stop that. But anyway, so check it out. I found something that was quite interesting. And, let me switch up. So look, guys, I wanted to talk about this one particular article where things was happening, and that is the New Immigrant Community Empowerment, which is also called NICE. So it's an organization where they are organizing, according to their Twitter page, organizing for a world where immigrants can live and work with dignity and justice. Okay, so they went ahead and they did a march on Saturday. Excuse me, I said Saturday. I don't know what day they actually did the march. Excuse me, pardon me. Actually, they did the march before the Saturday. I saw them. They did a march on the Brooklyn and Manhattan Bridge. And what they are calling for is they are talking to the governor of New York State, Kathy Hochul, and they're saying that they need $3 billion more. The reason why they need, I don't know what the reason exactly why they need $3 billion more, but what they are saying is that $2 billion was allocated to undocumented workers during the pandemic, and they're saying that they need $3 billion more. Now, these undocumented workers are domestic workers, and they work in different fields that were, I guess, at one particular time considered to be what you would call essential workers. And here it is, they're called the excluded New Yorkers because they believe they're excluded. But my thing is that, are you really excluded, or are you just the people that have been here illegally? I'm not quite sure. But anyway, we're going to take a short break and then come back and talk about this subject. Yeah. Welcome back to the Black Report Podcast. And I am your host, Tafari XL. So we were talking about the New Immigrant Community Empowerment Movement, that basically they received some funds during the pandemic from the government and from the state of New York, and they are now demanding and marching to get $3 billion more and protesting and making these demands of the governor of New York. Now, what's ironic is about this is that these are undocumented immigrants, meaning that they are essentially here illegally. And they are demanding that they get more money. When I surveyed and saw the people who were wearing the nice shirts and other paraphernalia, hats and such or whatever, and so on and so forth, I noticed that there were very few Black people among that group. I also noticed that there were what appeared to be Anglo-Saxon individuals who spoke very clear English and appeared not to speak Spanish that were amongst them. So what's going on is that you have this people, you have a movement, and you have a group of people that are saying that before you deal with Black people and give Black people justice in America and follow up on the things that people like Martin Luther King Jr. and others in the civil rights movement in the 60s was fighting for, give us more money because we're here illegally and we're working and doing the work for these millionaires and billionaires, and so we need money. So my thing is that who should be, I'm not saying whether or not they should get any money. I just want to know what court in America can a Black man walk into and say that, yeah, I've done something illegal and therefore you should go ahead and break me off and pay me. That's what I'm asking about. I want to know where these extrajudicial rights come from, where someone can break the law and then make a demand of the United States government, break the United States government law,
and then make a demand for them to go ahead and pay them. They won't even pay the people that they, the descendants of the people that they enslaved here in this country. They won't even give them a payment. They offered them, they made a deal of 40 acres and a mule and never came through on that deal. But then somebody who came here, maybe threw their baby across a border or overstayed a visa or hitched a ride on some type of, on a coyote or on a boat or something, got here and is now demanding that they get more money. Is this fair? Is this just? Is this right? This are some of the questions that I'm sure people who are who did things the legal way and people who are citizens of this country and people who are citizens of this country that don't even get the full citizenship, citizenry and citizenship rights, rightshood of rights in this country that are brutalized by the court system, the police, and the overarching system of white supremacy in this country are asking. Well, I just want to know. I just want to know, like, what are on these people's minds? They must obviously know something that a lot of us don't, where they find themselves where they are in a country illegally and yet still demanding that they get paid. Well, good luck to them. Good luck to you. And keep tuning in to the Block Report podcast for another report from the block. I am your host, Tafari XL. Peace.